All right, welcome back to the Live Elevated podcast. This one today is so good. It's life-giving, it's encouraging, it's inspiring, and super motivating. I sit down with my good friend, good buddy, Jeremy Shelby. He is a man who's got a story to tell, to say the least. Childhood cancer, diagnosed around 13, 14 years old, big family. Dad came from nothing, played baseball in the big leagues, absolute legend. Now he's got a family. He's a father. He's a husband. He's a successful business owner. I mean, the dude's doing so many different things. And so this conversation will not only give you life and encouragement, but there's nuggets that he talked about that will transform your life if you let it. So without further ado, Jeremy Shelby. I'm trying to say your breath stank. No, but dude, it's good to have you in the studio, man. I know we just chatted about a lot of things, honestly. Mm-hmm. Life, faith, mindset, mentality, family. You got a lot going on, so do I. So I'm stoked for this conversation. But man, like, you know, what's going on with you? Like, you know, how did we first connect?
Wow.
We connected at Friday Bible study.
That's right.
Right.
That's
right. I call it Logos Immersion.
Logo? Wait, what do you call
You like
it?
That? Logos Immersion.
Okay. That's powerful.
The word.
That's powerful.
And you get immersed in that.
Okay.
With other guys.
I love it, man.
But we connected there, and I was like, dude, this guy's a freaking stud.
I
knew you were an athlete because, like, just the way you look and your mentality. So
has that changed at all?
Bro, you're always an athlete.
Always an athlete. Appreciate it, brother.
Fit dad, father figure. We could talk about that. But but yeah, like you know, we connected there, and I guess, you know, for people who don't know you, man, it's cool to like get some background. So mm-hmm. you know, you played ball, but where'd you grow up? What was your childhood like?
Yeah, so childhood, it was interesting, man. We were all over the place. So I was born in Los Angeles. My pops was playing for the Dodgers at the time. He decided. Now, first of all, my mom and my dad have been together over 40 years.
Dang.
Yeah, they started dating.
A journey.
A journey, man. They started dating. I think my mom was around like 14, 15. Mm. And straight out of the hood, man, had nothing. Had nothing. My father was the first one out of his family to make it. Mom and dad stayed together. Father went on to get drafted in the first round. That's when they had two
studs. First round.
He was a stud, man. He was a stud. Ended up winning two World Series. So our household was, you know, you need to match or beat that, right? And it wasn't anything that my dad was telling us or my mom was telling us. It was just something that was ingrained in us as young competitors, athletes of, you know, we need to be that great or greater. Hmm. It was never, you know, Pops is going to take care of us, you know, just live in his shadow. It was always, how are you going to cast your own shadow and do something of your own.
Yeah,
make your own path. But with that comes a ton of pressure.
Man.
Pressure, man. So
when did you start feeling that pressure? How old do you think you were?
I think it was when All-Stars Travel Ball started getting more serious, more competitive. So I was around 12, started traveling. When performance was, you know, when it no longer became a game, and it became life, right?
And that's early for that to happen.
That's early, man.
Like, I know for me, it started becoming a job in college. But, dude, like, to your point with your dad and who he is, like, that's serious.
Expectations, right? Everyone expects you to be on that all-star team, expects you to be the best on the field. And I remember dropping a ball, a fly ball in Cooperstown. We were in the, you know, the Little League World Series. Mm-hmm. I dropped a fly ball. We were in the semifinals. And I just remember everyone around me just I felt like the outcast at that moment, man. Mm. I felt like I let everyone down, and they let me know.
Yeah.
And that's when it changed, as in your performance really matters, right? Mm. And I started carrying that burden, you know? And what was wild is that the next year, I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease lymphoma, which is a form of cancer, right? So I was still a competitor. I felt like I was at my, now this was 13 turning 14, so I was at that level where you're paying attention to everything about your body. You're trying to be the best you can be socially, physically, et cetera. You know, the girls are there. You know, it's all about that social growth in life, right? And then I get sick, you know, and I'm looking at my brothers. You know, my older brother's a stud. Gatorade Player of the Year, first team all conference, first team all state, first team all city. He's 2 years older than me, so he's a senior. He's a junior. I'm a freshman. And pressure. And everyone's looking at our family like, you know, that's the baseball family. Those guys, you know, they're all going to make something of themselves in this sport. And then, you know, it all changed for me because now I'm going to the hospital, chemotherapy, radiation, losing my hair. I was on prednisone, so which is a type of steroid, so I'm gaining weight. And
this is like all the while you're going through puberty and stuff like that.
Yeah, at the same exact time. My father's the first base coach for the Dodgers, so we're flying out to L.A., spending time with him over the summer. And, you know, being out with your dad on the Dodgers, man, you're in Hollywood, right? So everyone's watching you.
That's the show.
It's the show.
Yeah.
Everyone's watching you. Everyone's looking at the family, and here I am. I'm thinking everyone's looking at me like, who is that sick kid that family is has, you know, has brought in and they're taking care of? So mentally and emotionally, man, it was a lot. It was a lot to carry. But I'm telling you, it was so powerful, because when you're sick physically and visibly, you can't hide it, right? So think about being that vulnerable to wake up every morning and say, yeah, I'm sick. You see it. You know something's going on.
Yeah.
How am I going to carry myself?
Wow.
My family sees it. They know it. How am I going to carry myself inside the house and outside the house, right? And being so young, man, I understood that. And it was like, this is an opportunity to be an example and to grow my faith. And my mom pulled me aside and she said, Jeremy, this is a process. She had a little tube of anointing oil. And she said, I want you to start reading Proverbs.
Wow.
And she said, I want you to anoint your chest every night with the cross and just start praying and growing your relationship with God. She was like, what you're about to go through, I can't help you. I don't feel it. You know, I can't fix it. This is about you and your journey and your faith. And I took that serious. And the reason why I took that serious is because I had nothing else. Right? For the first time, no one, including me, could fix what was going on.
You were at that point of just desperation where you're basically, all you can do is look up.
All you can do is look up. Yeah, it's that lowest point, right? And you can't hide it. Everyone knows it, and everyone's watching you. And that changed my life forever, because I now have an intimate relationship with God that no one can take away, that no one can trick or deceive me about what it really is, right? It is real, it is true, and it will never change, right? And so for that, I'm grateful of the crap that I had to go through physically, emotionally, you know, with the medicine and just with that social experience of just being sick, right? That now I have an authentic relationship with God that I feel like will never go away, still has its challenges every day,
right?
But still that seed, you know, and that relationship is inside of me. So you know, I can't even remember the question you asked me.
What verse that comes to mind, though?
Tell me, bro.
Is that you know, greater is he that's in you.
Talk to me.
Greater is he that's in me than he who is in the world.
That's right.
You know, and if we have eternal life living inside of us, then you become, I mean, there's other verbiage in the scripture, but it's like imperishable, undefeatable.
Undefeatable.
You have that Holy Spirit within you.
That's right.
It's like that's everything.
You no longer thirst. Right. You no longer thirst. And life is hard. Right. Yeah. Life is hard. But when you don't have that relationship, you start seeking, you know, answers in other things.
Sure.
Right. And I still do at times. Right. But if I really sit down, shut everything off and focus, I can find my home, you know, with Jesus, because he's been there for me when I was by myself. So that's just a daily reminder of just go by yourself and find your home again. So I think I don't even know what you asked something about, like, I don't know, it was like, where were you born? And
But dude, praise God, man, that's amazing. Let's go. Like, I love like conversations like this. Number one, you're a stud, man. You're a guy who leads by example in so many ways. No, you're not perfect. You know? I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. People listening like know that. Mm-hmm. But it's just this idea of, dude, you've went through some dark valleys,
bro, you know,
but you still come out the other side. And it's like, you know, the truth of goodness and mercy and grace and power will follow me all the days of your life.
That's right, man.
So like, I have a couple questions. Mm-hmm. You talked about your mom.
Yeah.
And I grew up very close to my mother as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that does serve us as men in this day and age and this time in history.
Yeah.
Because there is this, you know, you have the toxic masculinity idea. You have maybe even the softening of men, you know, passivity is growing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't believe we're made to be passive.
Yeah.
But I also don't believe we're made to be, you know, these
dominant.
Yeah, roll people
totalitarians.
Over.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
So there's got to be two sides. You got to have that growing in the sense of like true, godly, like life-giving masculinity.
Yeah.
So, you know, your mother, like, what role did she play? What did you learn from her the most through that time?
All right. So our mom she's the anchor. She's the anchor. And I wrote her a birthday card. I think it was this past year. And I was talking about, because, you know, everyone throws around the word anchor, right? Mm-hmm. But if you think about an anchor, it's at the bottom, right? Let's say you're on a yacht, you know, and we've actually had a fun day out on the water before, right?
We have.
Where we had to anchor up, right? Yep. Up top, we're having a great time. Hmm. That anchor is at the bottom of the gulf or the ocean or wherever it may be.
Wow.
Just holding everything together by itself. Hmm. In solitude, and everyone up top sometimes forgets about the hard work. Yeah.
That's where all the attention is.
That's where all the attention is. Is up there, right? Mm-hmm. So from my mom, she was always there. My dad was gone. My dad would leave for spring training in February. Yeah. If they made the playoffs, he would come back mid-October, right? And we were always hoping he made the playoffs. We would spend about 2 to 3 months with him over the summer. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of six. 5 boys, 1 girl. One mom, mm-hmm. right? Wow. So we all played sports. My sister played softball and cheerleading. She got us all to our practices, our games. You know, we weren't always on top, but we were there, right? And so when I talk about my mom, it's everything. And if I sat down, any of my brothers or my sister, they would say the same thing. She is the anchor of our family. She does not play around. She is Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. Mm. She does not hold back when it comes to God revealing something to her. Mm. She will let you know.
Yeah.
Right. And she feels like that is her purpose. And she's learned over the years to always have her motives are always there, but sometimes the method was off because she's so fiery, right? But we needed that growing up because we got, you know, 5 boys running around the house. You know, she's got to put us in line.
God knows, raising boys, dude. I can't imagine.
It was insane.
Trading places.
But she always, you know, was there for us, sat us down, whether we talked for 5 minutes or sometimes, you know, 3 hours.
Yeah.
She would let us know what God is telling her, where we need to go, what we need to do, how we can improve. And she was the one, you know, side by side with me when I'm going through cancer, what I need to do, how I can grow in my faith. And that's everything for me, right? So, but she does at times carry that weight of, you know, when you are disciplining your kids, sometimes they get upset, right? So she sometimes carries that weight of, she feels like we are tough on her, or we blame her for how we felt or how we were treated in certain situations. And that's what I really want her to understand now, is that she did the work.
Yes.
Mom, you did the work. Trust your work.
Yeah.
Man. Right? And trust the foundation.
So good. And it's a to your point, it's a thankless job. Like, you know, it had to be God for her, and doing life with God and being connected to his power through her to make it through those that season of life,
because
she wasn't being thanked by y'all. Just like I wasn't thanking my mom for putting up with my freaking
I'm looking
butt.
Like, come on, ma.
Yeah,
come on.
It takes a different kind of person.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're talking, Jeremy, I was thinking, you've seen Lion King.
Come on,
dude. One of the goats Disney movies ever.
Yeah,
your
absolutely.
Mother, in a way, is almost like Rafiki. You know, I'm thinking
powerful.
Your mom is your guide.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what does Rafiki do when Simba, he like forgets who he is? He goes, smacks him over the head, like, dude. You forgot who you are.
Right. That's
you know,
powerful.
So it's like truth in love. Mm-hmm. Rafiki, you know, just like your mother, mm-hmm. is trying to help Simba step into his God-given identity.
That's right, man. Yeah.
And he was running away from that and avoiding it. Oh, yeah. And so he had to freaking smack him up a little bit.
Don't act like you know my mom now. Come on, bro. That's my mom on point. And if she heard this, you know, she'd be like, "You better preach, B. Yeah. You better preach, man." Yeah, that's. And
well,
we're
going to send this to her.
Oh, yeah, we need to.
Whether we post her or not, we're going to send it.
Yeah,
she's going to listen.
And she knows. We went through battles at times where, you know, what she saw in me, I saw too, but maybe the time was off, right? Okay.
Give me an example.
We would just go through these I wouldn't even say battles of you know, Jeremy, this is where I think you need to be. Mm-hmm. And I would feel in my heart and my spirit that I know I need to be there. But this is where I need to be right now.
Okay.
Right? And it was tough, man, because where I am now is exactly where we spoke about, you know, maybe 10 years ago, right? But the only way that I could get here is by going through a few things. Not that I just wanted to put myself through trials and tribulations, right? But I really felt like maybe God was taking me to this place and there's something that I needed to accomplish or someone that I needed to talk to. Or, you know, a relationship that needed to be created to get to here. Because, you know, like you said earlier, man, Jeremy, you've been through some dark things, right? But everything that I went through became a testimony. But also, just like when you're working out, man, your muscles hurt, right? Mm. You have to go through that pain in order to get that growth.
Wow.
And I'm not talking about self-sabotage. I'm just talking about learning from mistakes, but also understanding what a testimony is. Some people are really stressed out about things that they're going through when you could really be encouraged about being in those valleys because now you have the survival kit, not only for yourself, but you have it for other people to say, hey, I've been here. Let me help you. You're going down the wrong path. Let me take you this way, which my mom may have been doing at that time, right? And I'm like, no, I want to go this way. And she's like, all right.
I know better. I'm 14.
Yeah, I'm 14 years old, mom. Come on, I'm going down this path. I got some things I got to do.
That's so good, man.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, just side note, in church when I was a kid, and, you know, we always, like, that's a whole conversation about heaven one day and how heaven, I think, at least in my journey now, is not so much this place that we're going to, but it's this presence, it being in the presence of God. That's heaven.
Yes.
Knowing Jesus and the Father and doing life together, you can experience little bits of eternity here on earth.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
But I remember, but it's also, so it's and also, like time is within eternity. So we're experiencing this within eternity. So it's later, but it's also now.
Absolutely.
It's now and later.
Absolutely.
And so I just remember being in church, man, and like, I think when you were a kid, I think you might have mentioned this on Friday, but I remember thinking like, I want to go to heaven. Like, I don't want to go to hell. Like, I want to go to heaven, but just not yet. I want to like go play baseball in the big leagues.
There's some things I want to do.
We got some to-do lists. I want to get married, have kids. I want to like do stuff. Like, so it's funny how just as a kid, man, it's such a wild life, and I think it speaks to the importance of having the right voices in your life. If 100%. You didn't have your mom, man, God knew you needed.
Yeah.
What do you call her, Mama Shelby?
I mean, that's you needed that. We just, you know, there's no nickname on it. That's mom. Yeah. That's mama. You know, Train Bean. You know, that's that. She knows the impact that we have. Such a big family, right? But every weekend we would have. I would have my boys at the house. My brother would have his boys. My younger brother would have his friends. You know, my sister would have her friends. The house had like 25 people in it.
Oh, you guys were that house.
Oh, yeah. But my mom would say, all right, y'all, it's Saturday night. Just know if you're staying the night here, you're getting your butt up for church in the morning.
Yeah.
And so there'd be some of them that left, you know, and then there'd be those that stayed. And there are a couple of my friends that now have a relationship with God because my mom would drag us to church,
man,
and put us in that position where we could grow spiritually, man. So she has changed so many lives, built so many disciples just from being the mom that she should be. And
kingdom living, bro. Like,
kingdom living.
Like, eternally focused on what matters.
Yeah.
It's so easy, bro, to get caught up in like this, like very fast, fleeting, you know, distracted life. I fight it every day, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm on Instagram for work. You know, there's so many things that are vying for our attention. And
absolutely.
It's like, I think successful living is just not being distracted.
man. 100%.
I think successful living is literally just avoiding the pitfalls of this like superficial lifestyle, because it keeps you off track. It keeps you busy.
Keeps you busy doing unproductive things.
Lots of movement, but not progressing. Yeah. That's fire.
Yeah, man. It does. It keeps you on that. What is that? What is the gerbil and the hamster, the spinning wheel?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like, you know, our life is full of those.
Yeah.
And the devil is like, I have new tools, right? It used to be this. Now I have this. You can hold it in your hand. It's, you know, whether it's a cell phone or whatever it is, but that is a, that's a spinning wheel.
Facts.
You know, and you can literally just get on your phone just to respond to a text. Next thing you know, you've been on your phone for 30 minutes.
100%, dude.
30 minutes.
100%. And time is money, too.
Time is money.
That's what our life is made out of. Like, how like, how old are you? Is like, how much time have you
been on this? Been on this earth.
Yeah.
And we have, we now have, it's productive, but it's also decisive. We have this deceiving tool that could take away time.
Wow.
Bro.
Wow.
It's powerful. It's scary. But like you said, man, the most productive people figure out how to stay on track of what do I want to accomplish today?
Yeah.
What type of person do I want to be?
Yes.
And then the most important thing that everyone forgets, how can I help someone else?
Mm.
Right? Like, how can I help someone else today?
You mentioned like you going through the valleys for like you have the survival kit for others. Like, why are we still here? We're here to serve humanity, man.
There you go.
We're here to share the God-given gifts that he's placed deep within us to develop those and expand those and then be salt and light in the world. You know, help 100%. People, serve people.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you and I are both trying to grow in that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask real quickly, so you're talking about the phone and distractions. Like, obviously we're doing that imperfectly, but we are intentional about, I am training to get better at this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to be more present, more intentional with my family and my own self to enjoy life to the fullest. So for you, what practices or maybe strategies do you have in place to like use your phone strategically and efficiently and not let it use you?
Yeah. I mean, the beauty of the cell phone, which is now considered a camera phone. Right?
Really? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Camera phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
It's a dang computer at this point.
Yeah, it's a computer. It's everything. It's everything. Yeah. But, you know, you go through my phone, you have archives of me, my wife, my kids, my family. I mean, sometimes, and this is what's super powerful, man, sometimes me and my wife have gotten into an argument, right?
You guys argue?
You know, man.
I don't know what that is.
You know what was crazy? And me and her, we joked about this. I don't know if this was a year ago, a few years ago. We went through our pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now the iPhone does this thing where memories, you push play, and it just runs through, right? And every now and then, man, I'll just push play and just reflect on the past couple of years. And it brings me so much joy because we're in this every day. Go, 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 go. Man, sometimes just push play on your memories and see what you've accomplished. Beautiful family. You know, that me and my wife Alicia married 5 years.
Yeah.
No chance of kids. No chance of kids, man. No, hey, babe, I'm pregnant. You know, we lost the baby. No false anything. Just nothing. Mm. And we talked about it. We were like, okay. Once this fifth year passes, you know, we're going to go in, see what we need to do, take steps. And my mom actually came in, prayed over my wife's womb. And my mom is so funny. She was like, Lord, I just pray that they are creative. And, you know, she's like, the bed is undefiled, Lord.
Like,
just, you know, just allow them to just have their way. And, but she just keeps it real, man. She keeps it real. My wife got pregnant maybe six months after that.
Stop.
Yeah, I was at, I got to tell this story, man. One of my best friends growing up, Daniel Covington, RIP, man. Miss you, love you. His mom was in town. I think it was a TD Jakes conference up in Tampa. And I was like, Mama Cove, got to see you. We went to eat at Cheesecake Factory. And we're sitting down there. We're having lunch. She's like, hey, how's the fam? You know, how's everything going? She's like, how's Alicia doing? She's pregnant, right? I was like, Mama Cove. I was like, she's not pregnant. Yeah. Still trying, you know. We can pray over it right now. Yeah, it was at that point where I'm just taking prayers.
I mean, dude, if, you're requesting that.
Yeah, I'm requesting. Yeah. If someone brings it up, we can pray over it right now. Yeah, you know, because, you know, it's just not happening.
Yes.
She was like, no, Jeremy, I feel it. And this was after my mom prayed over the womb, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And she was like, no, Jeremy, I feel it. I believe that she, and Brian, this is a true story, yeah, man. We were at Cheesecake Factory up in Tampa. Alicia is at home. She's like, I believe that she's pregnant right now. I said, I just left her, you know, an hour ago, and she's good. She didn't say she was pregnant.
She's not sick.
She's not sick. Not throwing up. Still looks the same, you know. And she said, no, Jeremy, I feel it. I said, well, then let's pray over that right now.
Yeah.
Prayed over that. I drove home from Cheesecake Factory up in Tampa. Alicia is sitting in the bedroom with this weird, like, goofy face. And I'm like, what's up? And she was like, I got a surprise for you. And I was like, babe, for real, the only surprise that I want to hear you share is that you're pregnant. And she's like, are you? She's like, I am pregnant.
Stop
And
it,
I'm
dude.
Like, there is, no, I got chills, man. I'm like, there is no way, babe. There is no way. I stepped out. I stepped back in the bedroom. I was like, babe, I was just at lunch with Miss Covington. And she said you were pregnant. We prayed on that. I literally come home and you're telling me that you're pregnant. That was one that was one of the, you know, most far out things that have ever happened in my life, man. And I called Miss Covington and I said, saying you're not going to believe it is not the right thing to say, because she did believe it by faith, right?
Right.
But I said, I don't believe it. I said, you know, my wife is pregnant, and we had our daughter, and then we had a son. And now she's pregnant again.
Man.
But there are so many people who prayed for us, you know, for those, I'd say, 2.5 years of we wanted kids. I know my wife did. I was like, Lord, have your way. If we have them, we have them. But she wanted to be a mother. Mm-hmm. And that was just I will never forget that day and how those events took place. And it was just God saying, yeah, bro, I'm here. I'm here, and I'm about to show off.
Wow.
And so now that's the space I'm in right now. Like, bro, let's get vulnerable, mm-hmm, with our faith. Let's put it out to the people.
Yeah.
And let's say, this is what I believe God is going to do in my life.
Facts.
But like you said earlier when we were talking, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if it doesn't happen, I'm still good.
Speak on that,
I'm still good. But when it happens, just know that I told you so.
That's facts.
Right? Yeah. And it's like, that's the space I want to stay in, mm-hmm, from here on out. It's like, Lord, what are we going to do crazy now?
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell everybody.
What you got? Mm-hmm.
And when it happens, I'm going to tell everybody. And if it doesn't happen, I'm going to tell them to hold on, because something is about
exactly
to happen. Yeah. Right?
Walking by faith, not by sight,
bro,
man.
Bro. And you know, put it out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, regardless, dude, it's like, that's what we're called to live like, is boldly. And it's not about our own power and our own, you know, ability to force things make things happen. No, it's, what does he say? Not by might or by power, but by my spirit.
That's right, man.
Man,
that's
like, God can do whatever he wants.
Whatever.
And we're just a part of
a vessel.
Yeah, empty vessels on earth to accomplish his will, to bring heaven to earth.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love what you said about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
No, you said that.
Well, you repeated it, though.
That's
but
right, that's
you know
right.
what I'm saying? But it's like that mentality is like, this is what we believe, and even if.
Even
and that's littered through scripture, where it's like, you brought up, you know, by faith, she believed by faith.
Yeah.
It's like Hebrews, that just reminds me of like that passage where everyone who was filled with God's spirit back then or living by faith, they chose to look beyond their circumstances and look to the promise of God.
Yeah.
God made a promise, and they say, look, my circumstances, in fact, it's not even like almost there. In fact, it's almost laughable
how
different it is.
Yeah.
We are barren for 4 years. Nothing's happening.
Nothing.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's laughable.
Mm-hmm.
Like to someone, it's like, dude, what do you mean? Like, we got no hope. But if you had that faith, you say, no, God will deliver.
That's right.
Things change, man.
Things change.
And that's the Abraham or the Abraham story where it's like.
With his son.
Right.
Yeah.
Abraham. And then who was the guy who was like promised
don't
the stars
test
in the
me. Don't test me. You know, look.
Who's that?
You're testing me?
Yeah, I'm testing you.
I'm asking you.
Abraham? No.
No, man.
It's not Isaac.
I did bring my Bible now.
Did you? Let's go.
But, you know, look, yeah.
But regardless.
No spark notes in there.
You can search on the phone.
You can search on the phone.
But the guy who God promised, and someone's gonna be like, yeah, it's this guy, you knucklehead. But it's like,
I think, you know, it was Abraham.
My wife is however many years old. I'm this old. We're and you're gonna promise me the stars in the heaven for my descendants. Get out of here.
Yeah,
but no, it's walking by faith.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, a big tangent there for me, but powerful story. So let's get into fatherhood. We're working low budget on this podcast. I got to redo for you guys to see the visuals, I got to click the new link. So right, I'm going to let you start with the family. But, you know, being a father, someone who you always wanted to be one day, it seems like, and obviously now experiencing that, you would never, that's the biggest blessing in my life. Like, I can imagine not being a dad.
Yeah.
So I guess speak on, like, what do you want your kids to think of their dad? What do you want them to when we're dead and gone?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want your kids to say about you?
Wow, that's powerful. Yeah,
begin with the end in mind. You know,
you want me to go ahead and jump into this?
Yeah.
You know, and I got to be honest, man. After the whole cancer thing, I'm gonna put my mom on blast. She's gonna laugh. But the doctor was like, you know, you need to freeze, you know, some seeds, right? You need to freeze some seeds. And my mom was like, no, he doesn't masturbate. He's not going to masturbate. You know, I'm not having it.
I was not that kid.
I was like, mom, if you just would have asked me, you know, I probably could have put some, you know, on deck. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's nothing that I wasn't experiencing at the time, right? But in her mind, she was like, no, I don't want to put that burden on him, which I respect. But I didn't think I could have kids, man, even at like 15, you know, all the way until I found out my wife was pregnant.
And that was confirmation once you were with your wife
trying or
letting things happen.
That
was just confirmation of, oh, shoot. Remember when I was 13, 14,
15? Remember when I was 13, 14, 15? I can't have kids.
Because of the cancer.
Yeah, and so mentally and emotionally, I never allowed myself to have the joy or expectations of being a father.
Wow.
So for me, it all hit, not when my wife said she was pregnant, but when Asher was born.
Yeah.
And I'm holding her in my arms. And it wasn't like that moment of like, oh, I looked into her eyes and it all clicked. It was the process of being a father, growing with her, taking care of her, having those memories, having those moments with her. So you say, you know, what would I want my kids to say about me is, one, I was there for them. They could tell me anything and I still loved them and supported them, but at the same time, helped them and directed them, you know, along the right path, but that they loved me.
Yeah.
You know, that they loved me. And that I loved them, right? Because you can love someone, but still takes work, right? Still takes work. Mm-hmm. You can have the right motives of love, but the wrong methods to where the person receiving your love may not feel like love to them.
Right.
Right? Yeah. It may feel like constant discipline. It may feel like unfulfilled expectations. It may feel like a letdown. You know what I mean? So I want them to say that they received the love that I was giving them.
Right.
Right. Right. And you know, I want them to know that I left them with something, a legacy.
Yeah.
My father, you know, we talk about my mom a lot, but my father was amazing and left us with legacy as his legacy still grows and continues. But we always have that icebreaker with anyone to say, you know, father was 2-time World Series champion, came from nothing, you know, helped our family and put us in a position to where, you know, we can be where we are today. We always have the ability to say that because of the hard work that he put in, right? And I want my kids to always have something to say positive, productive, life-changing of, yeah, my father, whatever that may be, right?
So good,
legacy, you know, that legacy is huge. Love and legacy, man.
Yeah, legacy, love. You said present, too. So presence.
That's
powerful. Because a lot of guys, I mean, what I don't want to happen is for me to be the dad that's there, but not really there.
Yeah, not there.
A lot of guys took themselves out of the house, and in some ways, that can be healthier than having a dad who's present but not really there, in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I want to avoid, and so I love when you said presence. That's fire. I love when you said love, because ultimately, like, I mean, I think that's why the world was created, was, you know, our destiny is love, to be love, to love God.
To love others.
To love others. Yeah. That's it, man. Yeah. So that's the foundation for a healthy home.
Yeah, and it's not a word, it's not a feeling, it's work, right? That's the biggest thing that I've learned through, one, being married, and two, being a father.
Yeah.
Is that love is work. Through that work, you feel loved, right? Or sometimes, you know, through not working, you feel unloved.
Yeah.
Right? But the feeling comes from the work.
When you say work, what do you mean by work?
Oh, man, being intentional.
Intentional.
Right? Being intentional about serving someone else, right? Taking away from self, right? We're so used to doing everything for ourselves, but finally being intentional to someone else.
Yeah.
And saying, you know, how can I help that person? How can I be a better me for that person? Mm-hmm. whether that be my wife, my kids, my coworkers, my friends, let me be more intentional about being better for them or being present, you know, or helping them with something. We can get so stuck in self.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Do I know what you mean?
We get stuck in self.
That's it, dude.
And it's like, man, you know, in order to truly love someone else, you're intentional and you take action in their life, in their emotions.
For their good. Yes.
With good motives.
Yeah.
Not fake work.
Correct.
Good work.
Yeah.
Right? That's coming from a good place. And people feel that. Mm-hmm. Right? People feel that. And what do they feel? They feel that love.
Yeah.
They feel that love. So yeah, man, I think a lot of it comes with time, you know?
Time, attention, work, dude, so good, man.
Yeah.
You got so much wisdom. I think the powerful thing with me, with having Gianna, is to all of your points right there, is I finally have been understanding the reality of this idea that loving your neighbor as yourself, you know, and seeing other people not as strangers or enemies or other, but as connected.
Yeah.
You know, we are one human race.
It's powerful.
We are one people, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like when I look down on someone or when I see someone as something other than the way I see myself,
or which lesser is like the, than yeah, lesser your than, image of yourself.
Yeah. It says a lot about what I believe about God and about myself.
It's His creation.
So having it, amen. And having a kid, where'd that kid come from? Above, but he came from, you know, us. Like my girl came from me and my wife coming together. So this girl is a part of us, God given. She's not ours as we don't own her.
Right.
We are stewarding and trying to raise her in the best way possible because we know she's a gift from God.
Yeah.
But that helps you see the world as, dude, I look at my baby girl, everybody you see, man, is a child.
That's right.
Right?
That's
is
right.
Once a child. And I think that's how you can speak the truth in love. If I just let my baby girl do something that I know would hurt her, that's not showing her love.
That's right.
And so there's time and places. I'm not saying like you're going to tell someone, you know, something that they need to hear all the time. I'm not saying that. But but truly, that's why we're here. And I want to do business. I want to live. I want to operate from that place of love where it's like I see you as you are connected to me. Well, and how I treat you is the most important thing that I can do.
Well, what you were describing there, man, and I'm right there with you because being, you know, new fathers less than 5 years in, right?
Yeah.
What you experienced was mercy. You know? That's what, because with our kids, we give them so much mercy because we look at them and we're like, oh my gosh, they're so cute. They can do no wrong. Even when they do wrong, they frustrate us.
Right.
We still give them more mercy than anybody, our wives, our friends. And you start thinking about it of like, you look at someone else and you say, why can't, me and my wife talk about it all the time.
We get frustrated.
Yeah, we're like, how can we get so frustrated with these kids, but yet give them so much mercy, but I can't give you a break.
Wow.
Or I can't give, you know, my friend a break or this,
we write
or this
stranger off on a break. One thing.
We write them off quick, right? But when you're a new parent, the last thing that you would do would be writing off your new child, right?
Dude.
So you learn this like authentic, real mercy. And those that are, you know, attentive and are paying attention to their spirit, they describe it the same way you did. I'm now looking at my child and I feel this love and this mercy. And now I can look at another person and feel and sense that same love and mercy.
That's facts.
Now, how can I learn to act on that?
Yeah.
And spread that and extend that to others.
Everybody. And living that 24/7. That
living
is
24/7.
So fire.
It's powerful.
The idea of us being separate or other or strangers is just an illusion.
It's an illusion.
I'm reading a book and it's pretty freaking like interesting. It's this Platonic. It's like Christian Platonism or something like that.
Okay.
But it's just this idea that, like, you know, God's reality mm-hmm. is ultimate reality.
Mm-hmm.
What we're living in this physical realm, let's say, you know, is a derivative of the ultimate reality.
That's right.
It's like a fallen sense, but you can still experience God's kingdom.
Absolutely.
So the unseen things are actually more real than the things we see.
Preach, man.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's just like, man, I think that's the key, is how can we drop that veil and just see people as human beings created in God's image, made on purpose, made for a purpose.
Yeah.
That's it.
Take away all of that man-made beliefs.
Yeah.
Creations. Take it out.
Compartmentalizing or boxing people in. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. History.
Yeah.
Man-made history.
Yeah.
You know, hurts, wounds. If we remove all of that and we go back to just God's creation,
mm-hmm.
man, how powerful is that? You know what I mean?
I wish I was there, bro. I wish I was there. One day we'll see it, no doubt.
One day. Or we'll just, you know, learn ways to live it out
now
until we do.
Facts.
My brother.
I asked you, Jeremy, and it's 10:30, so we're good on time. I mean, we'll kind of bring this to a close, but I asked you probably, dude, like 2 years ago at this point, maybe less, but like, what's your best habit that's given you like positive, impactful living? And you said asking for help, man. You said, I used to never do this, and now I'm okay with it,
right.
And it's changed my entire life.
Absolutely.
Asking for help.
Yes.
So explain how that's a good habit to have.
All right, so the first step to asking for help is this word I've been using all day, is being vulnerable, right? Being vulnerable and letting other people know that you need them or that something is, not that it's not okay, but it could be better with someone's help, right?
Yeah.
I would carry so much just day to day, right? With relationships, with life, I would carry it and I would pride myself on the amount of baggage that I could carry and still accomplish things, right? Thinking that it's me that's doing all of this. And so God kind of brought me to a point where he had to bring me to my knees again, because I was on my knees when I was, you know, 14 being diagnosed, right? Yeah. But you start to think that you can do things on your own again, right?
It's funny how that ego seems to just kind of crawl back,
right?
Creep back,
it creeps
little by
back,
little.
Man. And he had to bring me back to a place to where it's like, not only do I need him now, right? Because when I was younger, it was mostly him.
Yeah.
It was a private relationship, right? Mm-hmm. But now he had to take me to a place where it's like, no, bro. You've been talking to me. We can get through this, but I want you to start leaning on the brethren, your brother, someone who you can go ask for help, because you don't attain what you currently need
or what you
desire, right? And so, and at the same time, I'm having all of these ideas and goals that I want to accomplish in life. And when I write them down, I know this cannot be accomplished by myself. And that was when I really just started to take the time to plan, prepare, and pray, and then learn how to deliver what I feel like God has put on my heart to a trusted friend, advisor, or partner, right? And to say, man, this is a vision that God has given me that I feel like is going to be my purpose in life. I'm going to share this with you and ask you for help, because, you know, whether it's finances, whether it's just support, or whether it's just a listening ear, I needed someone else, right? And as I began to ask for help, we achieved, you know, that goal, and then two, relationship was created, and then three, I learned that I can help and be helped by others,
right?
And that's powerful, man. But the beauty of it was is that it was scalable, right? Sometimes things that I was doing on my own, I hit a ceiling, you know, and it was like, this is great, but I think this is as far as we can go with this.
Right.
When I brought in someone else, their ideas, their God-given purpose then came to the table.
Yeah.
And they started showing things to me. I just didn't see it in that perspective. The first partnership we have sometimes is a marriage, mm-hmm. right? Or a friend, right? But then sometimes in business, so much fear pushes people away because of bad experiences or whatever to say, hey, I have an idea, and I think together we can accomplish this.
So good.
And man, over the last 10 years, I have reached out for help with some of the ideas that God has put on my heart mm-hmm. to some of my trusted friends, advisors, or partners, and we have accomplished some crazy, crazy things, uh-huh, man, uh-huh. that, you know, I could not have accomplished without them.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm proud to say, yeah, I have partners mm-hmm. in life that have helped me. And we've been able to scale and achieve things that, man, and expedite them. I yeah. love that freaking word.
Accelerate. Yes.
I hope that's the, yeah. Accelerate. Yeah.
Expedite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speed it up.
Yeah.
It's been an amazing last few years of great partnerships,
yeah.
Great friends, great mentors, and you know, and my marriage too, man, is learning how to work together with my wife yeah. and accomplish goals.
Yeah.
And we've been through our ups and downs, man, but now it's beautiful because now we have time. 10 years we celebrated this year.
Amazing.
And so now wow. when we go back and forth, man, I'm constantly reminded. I'm like, 10 years, like, you know, Jeremy, you can grow up. Like, bro, you can move on from, you know, from this argument or yeah. with this disagreement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bro, enjoy life right. together with your wife.
Right.
Been together for 10 years. You can do it for 10 years. You can do it for 10,000 years.
100%, dude.
You know what I mean? So, mm. You know, so.
The power of doing life with other people.
Yes.
And not just doing things on your own.
On your own. Your own. And that takes vulnerability.
Yes.
Right? That takes also hearing criticism.
Which is uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. That takes being uncomfortable, right? But once you lay everything out, you start to accomplish things mm-hmm. that you could not have done
yes.
on your own.
Yes.
Or you may have achieved a small portion of mm-hmm. of what God really had for you.
Yeah. Or, so, or yeah. you would need 1,000 years to accomplish it, where exactly. the expedition, right? The exactly. expediting of that
yeah.
venture happens yeah. in this lifetime.
Quickly.
Right?
For you to see, mm-hmm. for your kids to see.
Yeah. Generations.
Generations, man. So it's been a blessing asking for help. Ask the right people, though. That comes with, you know, there's some, you know, you can't just tell everyone your visions and what God has put on your
true.
Heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to find trusted friend,
blessed
trusted
is the
partner.
Man who, you know, gets his counsel, gets his wisdom
yes.
from the God-fearing people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Iron sharpens iron. Yeah. So if you're not talking to iron, you know, you're talking to the wrong person.
Yeah, yeah.
And you may accomplish something, but it may not be what you sought out to
yeah.
accomplish.
My, I think Gigi's here. So hold this thought,
oh, okay.
and then we'll land the plane.
Absolutely.
I heard something. Let me just make sure. Hey, I'm so sorry. Okay.
Yeah, we're recording. Gigi, what's up? Oh, we got big dog in the house.
Okay. He's got a photo shoot. He's got a photo shoot.
Boy, that's
come
crazy.
On. Come on.
I remember them being a pup.
I do. It is wild. Hey, Lydia.
Wow. All
right, dude. I love it. This is so good, man.
Yeah, bro. I
so
love it,
good.
I even got some grease on your headphones, boy.
Good.
I broke them. Man.
Good.
I mean, broke
I need
them,
some
man.
More moisturizer. I got dry skin, man. I got dry
broke
skin.
Them, bro.
But so good, man. We got a lot of stuff to unpack. I want to have you like multiple times too, because we have a lot of like conversations I want to have to learn and to hopefully, you know, share value with the world.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you are such a driven, successful, self-motivated type mm. of person.
Mm.
The fact that you've gone through this stuff and you overcome it, you've overcome it with God.
Mm.
And are living your life right now
yeah.
is such a testimony.
Yeah, God is
it's
good.
It's such
man.
Amen,
yeah.
dude.
God is good, bro.
And so it's like that's we need to talk about those things mm-hmm. more. Talk about the journey. Talk about the now, what you've learned. But
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm inspired by how you operate and, you know, business wise, mm-hmm. collaborating with people.
Yeah,
always seeking to grow and learn.
Bro, I appreciate you creating the platform and the opportunity for, you know, people to share their testimony, their stories, building okay. fellowship.
Yeah.
It's powerful, man. This is what the world needs. This is what our society needs. So I encourage you, man, keep going. I'm here whenever you want to chat. You know, we could talk all day.
Yeah, dude, we honestly could.
Day.
I remember we first connected. I'm like, bro, I could talk to this man for hours.
You could talk all day.
And there's
day,
something
bro.
Special about that where you, if you if you feel fired up, like in your spirit, you know it's the same. Like, that's it. You're like, oh, it's the same spirit.
Let's go.
And that can happen locally, but you can meet someone on the other side of the globe and
still
same
feel that
spirit.
Yeah, you feel that spiritual connection.
Facts.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, bro.
So last question is, what are you looking forward to? What are you hopeful for about the future? What excites you? You know, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, man. Well, wife is pregnant, so, you know, and this is the end for us. I went ahead and...
snip, snip.
I was like, Lord, thank you for these blessings, but, you know, my cup is overflowing. So, you know, we're just going to put that on pause.
My God.
No, man, I'm excited to just grow our family, to have a full house, you know, just to continue to see... what God is going to do. I really am. I'm challenging myself for this last quarter of this year and for next year, man. I'm going to be bold with just some visions that I have of what's next, whether that be for my family, for the business, for relationships, for friendships. I want to be bold and say, this is what we're going to accomplish. This is what we're going to achieve. Yeah. You know, I'm going to just put myself out there, be vulnerable, man, and say, however people need me to accomplish their goals, let's do it. But also, as we talked about earlier, learning when to say no, you know, and when to not overcommit.
Sure.
But I'm just excited to see what God is going to do, because I know that God knows that I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Right. And that I'm going to share that testimony with others. So I've got a list of things that that I'll be bringing to him. He's got a list of things that he'll be bringing to me. Uh-huh. And just to sit down, pray about those and to watch them happen. And just to fellowship and celebrate with others, man. Life is beautiful when we give it to him. And when God wants to be put to work, he's like, yo, I'm here. If you have faith in me and ask me for some things, and then listen to me, right? Listen to me. Take action, whether that's listening, whether that's taking action by stopping, right? And just being present and being quiet.
Yep.
But man, there's so much to do once we just listen. And once I learned that, I'm like, let's go to work, right? Let's go to work. So I'm just excited about continuing to see, you know, what he's going to bring to the table. And yeah, man, it's going to be some amazing years coming up. And I think this next year is going to be wild, man.
I agree.
It's going to be wild. So I'm excited. Yeah,
so
man.
Good. Yeah. Living like that life where it's hands open.
Yeah.
Empty vessel, like you said.
That's
like,
right.
Water flows very powerfully through an empty
vessel. I'm telling you, man. That can be dirty on the outside sometimes. But inside, when it's clean, when you pour that water out, that's clean water, man.
That's big.
You know, that's clean water. Yeah. So he wants to cleanse us internally.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are worried about that external.
Oof.
You know, we could talk about that maybe next
time,
bro.
100%.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
I've been
thinking
about that a lot. God looks on the inside.
Looks on the
heart.
Yeah, man.
And... One of the biggest temptations is to do things for others,
to
be seen by others.
Yeah, yeah. Clean up the outside,
get
confirmation, and then inside, man, we're still a mess, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, starting with before we wrap this up, man, it has to start at home, right?
Yeah.
And for me, it really started, and it's still going. Nothing that I do can be pure if my home isn't pure.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm challenged by that. I think I'll continue to be challenged by that daily. But just to, when I walk into my house, that needs to be the purest form of love.
Absolutely.
You know, before I can go out and give love to others. So,
absolutely.
So, yeah, man, that's what I'm in right now, is just to purify my home, be the father, you know, be the husband, and then to go out and give that to others, man. Yeah,
bro. So inspired by you, dude.
My God,
you are God. You are God breathed, spirit led.
BP,
my friend.
BP.
Yes.
Hey, this is what we needed, bro. I feel fired up.
Uh huh.
I feel energized, man.
You're about to go crush this interview with SRQ.
I'm telling you, yeah.
Let's go.
I think, and I get them confused. Sarasota Mag or SRQ? Yeah. I think they're completely different. I think this is with Sarasota Mag, but I'm excited to sit down and talk to them. I think I got a headshot today and an interview tomorrow.
Cool.
We're going to be talking about some, just what it's like to be an African American and the ups and the downs of that. I think that's a topic that many people are wanting to discuss. Some people are tired of hearing about it, which you know, I understand that, but I think you know, we're only about 50 to 60 years out of Jim Crow law, so we're not too far out of just what was kind of a confused society. So there's still a lot of work that we need to do. So
you can never overdo telling the truth.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's powerful.
We need to keep telling the truth. So whether it's the same thing or people get tired of something, like, We don't need less truth. So speak from your heart, speak from your experience, and again, what else, we just talked about it. Like, make the world a better place. Yeah. Be the change you want to see in the world. Elevate other people in the process. So I agree with you, man. Like, I'm glad you're making moves like that.
Bro.
So where can people find you? Like,
I
mean, you have clients out there, you have websites.
And yeah, we have the website for business is EliteLifeTeam.com, Instagram at EliteLifer. Everything's elite, but you know, it was on my heart, man. We got to be elite.
We're not called to be average.
Yeah, that's right. or just find me somewhere around Sarasota. I'm sure I'll be around, man.
This man's everywhere, bro. This man is everywhere.
I love people.
Last thing I'll say, we're probably going to do another hour.
Maybe. Yeah.
But Irwin McManus, you ever heard of him?
No.
Preacher out in LA, Hollywood actually, but he's a light in the dark place. You know, it doesn't need to be said because he's in Hollywood, but he was like, man, he's had this really powerful word on what it means to be a Christian and an artist or a businessman. He's like, you know, as Christians, why would we ever settle to be average in what we do?
That's right.
Any craft that we have, whether it be baseball or content or with our clients or business or art, why would we settle for less? Christians should be at the top of every game in society.
Absolutely.
Not from a selfish standpoint, but from an inspiration
standpoint.
That's
what God expects.
Yeah.
If he gives us a gift.
A talent.
Yeah, a talent. He expects us to do our best.
That's it.
And to give it all to him.
Yes.
But to also, you know, put it all out there and be our best in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we should be living with so much real hope and confidence in not ourselves but God flowing through us.
Absolutely.
We should actually, you know, see results. And it doesn't mean that if you don't see external success, you're not you're less than somehow. It's not that at all. But if there's no people who are doing life with God, who believe in Jesus and who he is and how it transforms their life, if you don't see those people in success or in leadership roles in the country, in the world, people will think, he said, that you can't be successful as a Christian.
And be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
So the only way you can be successful is to cut people, is to you know, dog-eat-dog world, to do business in shady ways. It's like, no,
not
man.
True. Mm-mm. Misconception.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe, it's been on my heart, man, but I believe that the day is coming to where across, you know, all industries, we start to see the believers being successful. Shout out to Deion Sanders. I think we're going to see more and more of that, of people proclaiming their faith. And you're going to see them visually accomplish things.
Yeah.
I think God is about to create, you know, some revival, man.
Raising people.
Yeah, raising people in ways where, you know, you're going to not only hear about testimonies, but we're going to see them. And I'm excited for that, man. I plan to be a participant in that and ask God, please, you know, use me in a way that others can be encouraged and can call on you for guidance and for help. So,
big bro.
My bro.
I love you, man.
Love you too, bro.
You are such an absolute legend, man. Guys, if you like this podcast, like, share it. DM me. DM Elite Lifer.
Let's go. Elite Life.
Jeremy Shelby is a legend and a light. And I appreciate you guys. Thanks for the support. Remember, you were made to live elevated.
I love it.
Till next time.
Take care, baby.
Yeah.
Let's go.